And again, if you want to follow along in the app, you can do that there, and the outline's there, and the notes are there for you. Philippians chapter 4, as you get to that, all our young folks, junior age, elementary, you can head out that direction toward junior church and got something great for you. And I think it may be dry enough, maybe even get to go run off a little steam out there in just a moment or two. To all of you parents who sent me nasty notes last week because we overloaded your children with candy, I'm sorry, but it was my wife's fault. And I'm kidding. Philippians chapter 4, stand with us one last time we read God's word together. Philippians 4, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He bookends there what we are looking at is how much he cares about them. He's out of this tremendous expositional section, and he pauses in this is a pause, and the more I think that this is in just the flow of what he's doing, I beseech, urge, implore, Euodias, and beseech Syntyche or Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. He puts two people on blast here. It is the epistolary equivalent of saying someone's middle name. Anybody in here, if your parent, step-parent, grandparent called you all three of your names, life all of a sudden got cheaper? Anybody? I beseech, I urge, I implore them, verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, no name we think given here, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and Clement's a one-off. We don't have any idea who Clement is other than he's a guy saying, get into the mix here. And with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life, the book of the living. Do this. I entreat you, help them. And then if you're pausing there, just look at verse 4 just for a hair. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I got news for you. There is nothing in between these ears, barely covered by new hair, that says there's anything to do with joy after dealing with people problems. Nothing. So what are you talking about here? And how in the world does this fit in, honestly? Is there joy to be found in helping keep relationships together? Is there joy in being found here? And so pray with me right now. Let's see if we can figure this out. Father, from front to back and left and right, I pray that you'd help. Lord, I pray that you would help people to listen. Father, I pray they'd be physically present, mentally and physically and emotionally alert. God, because this is an area that we need to be better at, and we need to look at it as ministry and as marvelous opportunity and something that can bring joy to others. Oh, how I pray even now. You would just speak to hearts, Lord. I pray that you would use our time together. And I pray, God, that you would get honor and glory from what's about to happen. Father, use me, I pray. And I pray in all this that you would be magnified. Thank you. May I speak clearly. May I enunciate well. But more than that, Holy Spirit, would you speak on the inside as I'm preaching, Lord, on the outside. We pray all this in your Son's precious name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Cool. I have seen the remote control. I do not see the remote control. So I already owe somebody $5. So if you have it, you can hold it hostage. All right. I figured it was a Holloman. And growing up in the 1980s, there was a marvelous thing that happened at our house. Thank you. Marvelous thing that happened at our house on Saturday nights. On Saturday night after the evening news, wrestling would come on. Not just any wrestling. Straight up wrestling would come on. Live wrestling. Let me help you. Live local wrestling. there at the Dorton Arena, Charles, in Raleigh, North Carolina. These guys would practice with students from North Carolina State through the week, and they'd get their stick together, and on Friday night, it already started about 11, but they'd cut in as soon as the news was off, and WRAL would broadcast the, these people who would go on to become famous wrestlers as they would gain fame and notoriety. And Dad would let us stay up, and my brother and I would fight through being sleepy. We weren't going to church on Sunday or anything like that. We didn't have anything to go to bed for. And we would stay up late, and we'd watch these folks just pummel one another. And I saw Ivan the Terrible, and I saw this fellow named the Great Kabuki. I saw Hulk Hogan. He wasn't from around there, but I saw other folks. Ric Flair, again, got the connection. And we'd see all these folks, and then they'd team them up. There'd be two on two. And every now and then, somebody throw a chair in the ring. My brother and I. And what we saw, we did. How many of you understand the principle? Monkey see, monkey do. And I at one point, I was flexible enough I could do a figure four. And we in the neighborhood thought it was cool to try and put the sleeper on each other until one of us passed out, and we thought this is probably not the best idea for young people to do. And we would do the flying kicks. How much furniture we broke in the house practicing what we saw perform on Saturday night. Well, as they got some notoriety, they'd come around to the local public schools. And on Friday night, about 8 miles from our house at the Rosewood High School, we'd see some of those guys. And they'd just walk out when they were done. Somewhere exists some autographs of Bad Bad Leroy Brown. Somewhere exists the autograph of Sweet Ebony Diamond. We met all these folks. And again, my brother and I were really excited one time, and a guy, Bad Bad Leroy Brown, I don't know how tall, 6'8", he looked like a giant to us at the time. He grabbed my brother by the top of his head and said, "Be cool, man, be cool." And Riley said, "I'm never going to wash my head again." And we do it. It's interesting to look at football or if you're in high school, you know, this miniature rugby they play that's disguised as soccer. If you do that, if you like those, if you're into boxing, we call it blood sport, I suppose. And it might be entertaining to some of you. Say, "I don't like any of that." You wouldn't have enjoyed Friday nights at my house, Saturday nights when we were cheering, "Hit them again." And we didn't know it wasn't as professional as it was back then, but it was a nice fantasy. But I can tell you what's not any fun is when it happens inside a church. When two people or three people don't care what they do to each other, don't care who gets hurt, and when Godzilla and Mothra go to fight, they may walk away okay, but they've killed a whole lot of other people. They've stomped them and smashed them. We pop into this, and let me help you. And it's not very interesting and not very exciting, and it's not very wholesome if everybody else stands around going, "Well, that's a crying shame they can't get it together, eating my popcorn. And I hope it works out." And then some folks, they jab the other and they jab the other, and they don't really work for reconciliation. Instead, they just like the spectacle. You want to really monk up a church, mess up a church, mess up a body of believers? It's usually not from outside. Nod your head if you're still with me. It's usually from inside. And there are different places in the Bible that talk about, Matthew 18 talks about the personalities and how you work things out. We typically skip that. We go straight to public slander instead of private discussion. And we just don't mess around with that. We typically let all kind of things grow as cancer in the service, in the body. Again, 1 Corinthians talked about, you guys know what this guy's doing and how he's sleeping around and how he's being sexually immoral. And you hadn't said, "Boo," you hadn't tried to restore him, you hadn't tried to warn him, "What's going on here? Man, this is not right." We look here, and we just got the shortest little bit of a glimpse. These two women be of the same mind. True yoke fellow, Clement, help them. Because of all these things. And in verse 4, now my experience has been, there is no way you say rejoice after dealing with people not getting along. Anybody in here People drama give me a headache, give me a heartache, and about half the time everybody loses. Anybody in here got the same thing? And if you're better at it than I am, we're going to start letting you handle all of it. Well, what's going on? What's he talking about here? Let's break it out. If you still with me? So how many of you think this is really helpful? And how many of you love to know how to do this and be able to say rejoice at the end of it? Anybody besides me? Don't miss it. Look at verse 1. He said, stand firm. He's going to use military language in verse 1. Verse 2 and 3, he's going to use military and agricultural language again in verses 2 or 3. Again, it's an odd grouping. Stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm, arm in arm, shields up, swords, spears drawn, and no breaches. Shoulder to shoulder. No gaps. No way the enemy can break through. Wait on the back foot, ready to go. Everything is ready for what's ahead. I am going to make my stand here. He uses it three ways. We've caught this as we've taken, I know, forever to go through Philippians. He says, you make sure you stand firm about your citizenship. You have a greater fealty than to Rome or to Philippi or to Mexico or to Canada or the United States. You stand firm that the greatest country you belong to is the citizenship of heaven. And with that, you live worthy of the gospel. Nobody ever ought to. They can accuse you whatever they want to, but it shouldn't stick. You make sure that you live in a manner worthy of the gospel. How many of you, by the way, feel like so many times the worst advertisements for Jesus are other Christians? Man, you remember this. You fight for this. You do this, and you remember. Again, he says it again in verse 20 of chapter 3, that your citizenship, your name is written there. You belong there. My parents used to say it. Anybody here, parents, step-parents, grandparents, ever say something in a way that was kind of flat, but it sounded threatening? My mom would say, remember your last name. Even saying it out of my mouth now, I get a chill running up and down my back. And she would say, remember who you belong to. And depending on how rowdy we'd been through the week, she'd say something along the lines, I will find out. Again, she didn't say it, but I'm still kind of scared about it. I was holding the door for a lady the other day. She kind of said, it's not necessary. I said, somewhere, ma'am, my mother knows if I did that or not. And she says, I got one of those two. I'm like, well, what are you barking at me for? Go on. And remember this, stand firm here about your sin. Stand firm when it concerns opposition. The enemies of the cross. The enemies of the cross. You make sure that you understand Jesus and the gospel are worth defending. They are worth fighting for. Let me help you. They're worth being attacked for. They're worth being attacked for. If we get attacked because of our weirdness, it's just kind of on us, the odd things we do. But again, Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. He is the only way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm sorry, I can't back up. And I'm sorry if that's offensive to you, but take the offense of the cross and let it bring repentance to your life and put your faith and trust in Him. But I can do no other. I have to stand here. I have to stand here. I don't get to be a jerk about it, but I stand here. He says, you stand. Make sure you understand the enemies of the cross. And he's talking about that. And that flows right into chapter 4. Stand firm. Stand firm. So people not real happy. Again, that's probably not a sign of anything other than we're doing what we're supposed to. Doing what we're supposed to. By the way, it's okay for people who hate Jesus and who hate the truth to not be real happy with us. Everybody with me here? Again, if all we're ever known for is scandal and all those kind of things, then I kind of get that. But man, this is it. I love what Russell Moore said. So they were asking about about marriage, and one man, one woman, and he said, and the woman was interviewing for NPR and said, you're just so strange. He said, it's worse than that. I believe that it was a man who was born of a virgin, who never one time sinned, and he died on a cross, and 3 days later, with no medical help, he arose from the grave. It's much worse than what I believe about marriage. I can really stump you with some of the things. And she said, I don't know how to respond to that. And he launched into a presentation of the gospel. And I say amen to that. Make sure you stand firm. Stand firm when there is opposition, the enemies of the cross. And then, he says, stand firm in unity. That's where we find ourselves here. You still with me? Stand firm in unity, in the Spirit. in the one spirit, striving together. And that's what we've been talking about. It's an athletic term. Striving together. Now, what most churches like to do is they strive with one another. I don't like the chairs. I wish we had pews. It's too hot. It's too cold. We sound like the three bears in Goldilocks, don't we? You know, all the time. The preacher doesn't do this. Again, I think I told a few of you. I may have said it in service. I don't really remember. I had people going, I see you done gone liberal. Not wearing a tie. I wanted to say, for 6 months, 4 or 5 months, I was wearing sweatpants. And, man, I can't do what you can't do. I just had to get over the fact and let everybody help dress me here. I don't wear a tie, not because I gone liberal. I don't wear a tie because it hurts. It hurts. And if you see me one on, I promise it hurt whatever I did. So you got a bow tie. I got a bow tie. And this thing is filmed. And if everybody sees me wearing the same clothes every week, they start sending in money going, help the preacher buy some clothes. And because he's poor, and I'm poor. And we're here. I wasn't making a statement. It's just where I'm at. Just where I'm at. And again, I'm not going to be more spiritual in my hands if my hands ever start working and it doesn't hurt to tie the thing. And if you want to come over to the house and tie one for me and it'll make you feel better, that's fine. I don't care. But I wasn't making any statement here. But everybody doing that, I've had people send all kind of kooky stuff and this and that. I don't have time to fight dumb stuff. Let me rephrase it. I'm not going to take the time to do some of that. As long as there's lost people out there, as long as there's baby Christians need to be mature, as long as there's hurting people need to hear the hope of the gospel, I'm going to lock arms with every one of you, and we're going to work together to reach them for King Jesus. Somebody say amen. In one spirit, be of the same mind of the Lord. And here's where we find ourselves. When you disagree, do this. Say, it's trouble. It's tough. It's an old poem. It said, to live together with the saints we love. Oh, that will be glory. But to live below, here you go, with the saints below. Now that's a different story. You can laugh, it's funny. You can laugh nervously because it's a nervous laugh. Sometimes some of the most miserable people still breathing air sit in a church on a Sunday morning. And they just can't wait to spread their misery. You don't dare ask them how it's going because they'll tell you. And here we are. So what do we find here? What do we find here? I want you to catch it. Take some notes here. I'm going to give you an action plan. Still with me? Everybody good? All right, number one. There's a foundation. Here's how to approach this. You break this section out. Here's what he's talking about here. So the foundation. Go to verse 1. You're my longed for, my beloved. He says twice, you're my joy and you're my crown. Inside of a church family, and again, inside of a body of believers, here's how one of the spiritual leaders is addressing everyone and saying this is how we treat everyone. You are this to me. And as you stand firm, I want you to know. Again, let's see, I try to practice again. That is not what it's supposed to be. That's me being like a teenager doing the heart thing. You are this to me. You matter to me. I did this the other day. Somebody told me that was a gang sign. As such, I do not belong to either Bloods or Crips, and I apologize. I thought that was a good thing. And you matter to me. You matter to me. He says, you people are precious. You people are precious. You people are prized. You're my joy. You're one of the great things God has done for me in ministry. If you focus on just all the knuckleheads and the knotheads, man, ministry and church life is not worth it. But he says, you matter. You cause me to rejoice. Let me help you. Everyone who comes to Jesus, everyone who's born again, everyone who follows the Lord and believers' baptism, they become part of that joyful train, those prized things of ministry. And we get to rejoice in everyone you've had a part in their lives. Paul says, man, you're prized. He said, you are the prize. Well, notice what he says. You're my crown of rejoicing, the laurel wreath. You're the victor's crown. You let me know that my labor's not been in vain, and God has let you be in my life. Now, by the way, how many of you think a church can flourish when everybody's treating everybody like that? Man, you're the prize. You're part of the reward in my life. you know, every time we see one of these videos, every time we see one of these videos, I do the same thing. I'm going, I can't believe we get to have a part in that work. I can't believe we get to have a part in that work. I can't believe the Cuban believers are going, if you're well enough, if you're able to travel, we want you here for the big celebration. I can't believe I get to have any part. I can't believe we get to have any part in that kind of thing. Man, when the Hope Center talks about deals, they've got their big meeting coming up at the end of the month. They're going to do it all virtually and all. Man, we got to have a big part in that at Christmas with your offering and your extra giving. And man, we're helping tell ladies about life and give them an alternative to murdering their child. We give them, and then they give them the hope and they lead them to Jesus. We get to have a part in that, absolutely. People, therefore, are the prize. Started off that way. Well, they don't, and they don't. We're foolish. But they got all this baggage. Hey, let me help you. Let me help you. Everybody in this room got some baggage. Everybody in this room got some back. I've been upbraided before. You keep bringing all these people in and blah, blah, blah. I finally looked at the one person and said, do you want me to do a credit check and they come in? Let me get them to fill out a form. I'm sorry I don't have the right class of sinners that come in here. And again, I was furious. I was furious. But absolutely not. Man, come to Jesus like you are. He changes your life. And then everything changes from there. How many of you think that's a good starting point here? People are precious. There's the foundation. There's the fracture. Here's the drama. Here's the wrestling. Look at verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. There's a fracture. Let me help you. Look at me. Some of you are going, I'm writing notes, preacher. This is in this church, in this situation. This is not every way to deal with every problem, because he's quickly hitting it. But you're going to see some principles here. There is a place for Matthew 18. There is a place for 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 Corinthians 5. There is some of that other that's going on here. But I want you to catch. I want you to get these principles. Don't forget, there's always a wedge. There's always a wedge that divides. There's always something. It can be moral. It can be a moral wedge inside of a church. It's not handled, and people kind of split apart. There can be a moral wedge. There can be a doctrinal wedge. I think contextually, chapter 3, he's talking about the Judaizers. He's talking about the ravenous wolves and stuff like that. It may be that they're disagreeing about what's going on here. Again, that's not, he didn't just say, but maybe that adds to it. Look up here again. And it could just be personal leadership or philosophy. I don't like this, I don't like that. Instead of working it out, instead of being okay about it or whatever, they just do. Just the fans probably be enough to stir a little air for us. Thank you, guys. Maybe whatever it is, and they're just kind of here, but there's always something. Let me help you. And sometimes the something that you know is not the something that it is. Sometimes you're just treating the symptom instead of the root. And he doesn't give us symptoms and he doesn't give us roots here. But I can assure you there's always a wedge. And sometimes people, they get fighting so long they don't even remember what the wedge is. And then there's sides. Then there's tribes. Then there's T-shirts. And then people just, they stop acting like they got any sense at all. And it's a mess. And sometimes this is where there's always a wedge. There's always a wedge, and it always takes work to unite. Four-year-olds, you can go, hug and make up. You can't do that with adults. You can. They just laugh at you. Shake hands. Dumbest thing I ever seen. 13, 14, 15-year-old guys, or Saturday, 18, 17, 18-year-old guys, kill each other. 90 minutes on the field, bruised, limping, bleeding at the end of the game. Good game. Instead of 5 more minutes, and if I'd have had a brick bat, you know, and it's kind of silly. Somebody said, was it a good soccer game? I said, it was an awful soccer game, but it was pretty good rugby. And so I just stuck on that anyway. So we should have videoed it. That would have been your Friday and Saturday night wrestling there. And so, but always takes work. Always takes work. You know, people, when they get out of orbit, it's hard to get them back in orbit. So who are these folks? You still with me? Look at the cast of characters, if you would, real quick. There's Euodias. Roughly translated means success. There's Syntyche. Roughly translated means lucky. They're both named after the goddess of fortune. Wait for it. These folks were pagans. They didn't have great history. They didn't grow up in a believer's home. They didn't have it all worked out. But Paul's about to give them some of the highest praise in any letter when he tells them to get together. Could I just interject just very quickly? Your family history may not be the best, but the grace of God and the mercy of God can change your family story right now. He is absolutely the chain breaker. He is absolutely the one that makes things different in your life. And God changed their lives in such a radical way. It's awesome what he did. These are the two ladies. He says, get on the same page. He says, help them, true yoke fellow. And that word there, that's a typo. Syzygus, not syntyche. Syzygus. And somebody said, well, that's the name. It's a proper name. Well, if it's a proper name, it's the only time ever used. There's no history. It's never ever anywhere else. If his name is Syzygus, which means true yoke fellow, true laborer, then it's a remarkable coincidence. So why do you say that, preacher? Because it'd be like you being named One Handsome Fellow. What's my name? I'm One Handsome Fellow. Okay, well, what's your name? No, that's it. It's what my parents named me, One Handsome Fellow. It's like naming your daughter, She Is Pretty. Or if you grew up where I did, She Is Purdy. And, you know, it's just that much on the nose. If it's his name, if it's aspirational. Hey, and all of you in the church, you be a syzygist. You do this, and you help everybody get on the same page. Wait for it. Or he's just simply talking about Luke. See, I thought it was Epaphroditus. If he's talking about it, it's Epaphroditus, he's still with him there at the Roman prison. He's going to deliver the letter, and it'd be like me going, hey, Andre, isn't it great that Riley cleaned the bathroom? Well, Riley's 4 foot away. You know, it's kind of passive-aggressive. I'm not above that. I'm just saying it'd be like that. And so he's saying here, and then he says, Clement. We don't have a clue who Clement is. So here's our cast of characters. So what's the first date? How do you help people? Is there any joy to be found? What do you do? There's the problem, and we don't have any idea what it is. We just don't. There's a spiritual leader. Spiritual leader wants them to get stuff together. Get on the same page. People who like to get everything stirred up and divided, all the podcasters, the YouTube experts, the talk radio people in this spiritual realm, that doesn't qualify them to be a spiritual leader. Not remotely. And then the plan. There's a plan. See, what's the plan? What's the plan? You start off by valuing the people of God. You matter. You matter. You absolutely, positively matter. You are the longed for one, the dearly beloved, the joy, the crown. You matter. Well, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Find it for me. Find it. You matter. Well, we're better off without them. Who reached out? Who tried to help them? Who tried to get them back on the same page? Their wound was their wound. Who did this? Man, you value the people of God. People are who Jesus died for. He puts a premium on their life, not you and I. And we live in the nuclear option. Well, you don't agree with me on this one little thing. Be thou departed. You don't. I'm not talking about the fundamentals of faith. I'm not talking about the inerrancy of the Bible. I'm not talking about the virgin birth. I'm not talking about that. But something, man, you could work through a little bit, but man, I can't get along with that, and the other person must die. Isn't that the world we live in now? You don't agree with me on this? No room for spiritual growth, no room for dialogue, no room. I'm not even talking about compromise. Just, well, they see that differently. Or they got hurt here. I have a pastor friend down in outside of Dallas, Texas. He said one time, he said, you know what kind of church we got? We got the kind of church where everybody who's been hurt by other churches have come to it. He said, 50 hours a week, I deal with and counsel people who've been stomped on and trampled on by folks who ought to know better. You want to help somebody? Start by valuing them the way God values them. Propose a solution. Ladies, remember, Jesus, who did not thought it to be robbery to be equal with God, made himself in no reputation, took on the form of something. Humbleness, humility, Christ above all, the gospel first. Propose a solution there. Enlist help, emphasize their worth to God. Let me give you, can I do a timeout? Is everybody still okay for a second? You with? I don't know why, and it's stuck, and we can't get around it. But the idea that the Bible teaches that all women are just mousy, and all they do is gossip, and all they do is whatever, is not a Bible idea. Not anywhere close. There are leaders, and they work in the church, and they're highly favored. In this time period, they were good for being temple sex slaves or good for being traded. Some of the Jews had gotten so bad that if you burnt the toast, you could be divorced for that, and they'd trade you in on a newer model, and the Bible reverses all that. The Bible elevates, not denigrates women. And by the way, I'm just as tired as I can be of hearing that that's true for the Bible. So what does he do? He calls them warriors. He says, they labored with me. They fought with me. They were there perhaps when he starts meeting at Lydia's house. They were there when the lady was demon-possessed. They were there when the silversmiths came and said, hey, you deprived us. Or excuse me, when the people that were using the little girl or the teenager was demon-possessed and he came back. They were there. They had stood with them. These women are warriors. They got this thing here. They're not real sharp on. But I want you to know, they matter to the work of God. These are warriors. We would do well to start giving people their due. Somebody say amen. We do well to say, hey, you know, we got to work on this. But this is great. This is great. Instead, what do? That's it. God can't use them. Goodbye. Instead of trying to help them, they said they were warriors. They were witnesses. They're with me in the gospel, the spread of the gospel. These are evangelistic women. These are evangelistic women. They're praying for others. They've been there. They are helping out. The Burnetts were talking about, man, how great it was to see our young people doing stuff Saturday a week ago and all. And again, Paul would say, you have labored with me in the gospel. You're witnesses. Then he says, they're workers. Use that agriculture word. They put their hand to the plow. Man, they have been there. They have helped out. They've helped out. Emphasize their worth to God. Emphasize their worth to God. Well, you disagree, or we can't, or there's something going on here, and it's all over. No, it's not all over. Man, you got this rich history of what God has done and doing in your life. Enlist help if you need to. Enlist help if you need to. They can't get it together, help them. Get them the word help. The word help there is interesting. We were on a mission trip, just a second or two. We were on a mission trip, first one I ever went to in Brazil. And I took a large group, which was dumb, because I hadn't been there, and it was, we're there. And these two guys had gotten in their head somehow they were going to be Rico Suave there in Brazil. And one guy with dark features and just great good looks looked really odd in North Carolina, but he looked like every other boy in that part of Brazil. But the kid with red hair and freckles, he was a unicorn. And he was beating women off of him the whole week. And it was kind of funny, and every girl was talking to him, and the waitresses kept filling up his glass, and they'd leave everybody else empty. They'd fill his up and smile, and he just, and he had about exactly 3 brain cells going. They were all maxed out, and there's no real right away where we were at. It's just buyer, walker, beware. We kept telling them, be careful, be careful. And so the unicorn's walking out with Rico Suave going, "Do you see all those girls flirting with me in there?" And he's like, "Yeah, I can't believe it. You're ugly as dirt, man." And I'm hollering at the guys, "Hey, be careful, be careful." And they just take a step in the street. About the time a truck rolls by, the truck misses them by 8-6 inches. Both of them scream like little girls, which really helped lessen the manhood factor. And the reason they didn't get hit is because I had grabbed both their belts. I said, "You will listen to me from now on." And they said, "Yes, sir." And for about 2 days, they walked behind me. That's the word here. Pull them back. Grab them. Get them together. Help them. Spiritual work is assisting them. And if you need to enlist help, True Yoke Fellow, whether that was Luke, the doctor, whether that was somebody else is there, or were they just saying, it's our job. If you gossip when people are struggling, you are not following this passage. And if all you want to do is take sides, because if one side wins, I got news for you, probably everybody loses. He gives the modifier, look at it, in the Lord. Help them be the same mind in the Lord. He is worthy. He is the one who sets the agenda. He is the one. And whatever it is needs to come under that umbrella. Do this. Enlist help and remind them we're on the same team serving the same Lord. Look at verse 3 again. Still with me? Say amen. Anybody? He pulls something that doesn't ring too much in our ears. To my knowledge, the only thing that's a registry in Knoxville is the tax roll. And I don't want to be on it. Anybody else? If they forgot me, I'd be okay. Is anybody, am I the only one who, the rest of you love doing that? Okay, God bless you. And I don't want to be on it. Just leave me alone. Leave me alone. When we finally sold our house in North Carolina, and they sent me a thing, I'm like, you know, these people and the telemarketers. You know, if you lose somebody, there's two groups you need to call. You call the tax department, you call the telemarketers, they can find anybody. And if you work for one of those, I'm just teasing, don't audit me. Don't. And he says the book of the living in the book of life. And that rang a bell even to the folks who weren't Roman citizens in the church. Because this was the deal. If you're a Roman citizen and your name's in that registry, remember what we said at the start of the series? These soldiers went, and part of their duty, part of their pay in their retirement was they would always be considered Roman citizens, and they wouldn't have to pay taxes anymore. And they got this choice place to come and live in Philippi. And this was as good as it gets. Paul is arrested, and they beat him, and he lets them know, "Hey, I'm a Roman citizen." And they just lose their minds because he's got rights, and they have done messed up. And he says, "You remember here." Sometimes we fuss and we feud and we are furious and foolish, and we forget that Jesus is the King and we belong to Him and we're going to spend together forever. We need to start acting like that. And he heard and he co-opts this word and says, "You're going to be," they are believers. They are believers. Some of the most foolish, wicked attitudes. Sometimes. Not trying to solve anything. But just, "Well, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they said that. Can't believe they did the other." We worked real hard in our youth ministry years ago. One point, give or take, we'd have about 40 or so on a midweek service for young people. We had about two Christian schools, kids there, and then we had from the two Christian schools, we had about four public schools. I was a chaplain for one of the high school teams, and just God was doing some neat things. And so we'd have young people come in, man, no clue about church, nothing. We're glad that they're because they need to be born again. They get saved, man, God starts changing their life. I mean, no big deal. We had one of those deals where we had an unexpected speaker, so we didn't have group. So we were all out there, and kid, it was either the first time or second time there. His clothes are clean and all, and he's got a new hat. Got one of those new flat bill hats, even this was years ago. And it was a custom hat, didn't have the Velcro. and he's got it, and he's got it in there, and I'm not paying attention. We got to do the mad scramble. We got this unexpected speaker. Preacher said come in, and no big deal. And an old guy in our church, walked up this new kid. He said, "Son, that's real disrespectful." Snatched his hat off. Went and sat back down. Young people sat at the front as a group. Whole church saw it. Never did get that kid back. I wanted to do a flying, jump off the turnbuckle, figure four, sleeper cobra maneuver on the 80-year-old. Did the kid need maybe some education in what was acceptable and proper and expected? Yeah. Was his big need to not have on a graphic t-shirt or a hat? That wasn't his need. His need was to get saved. His need was to repent of his sins. His need was to do that. By the way, everybody saw it. All of a sudden, this guy is evil instead of this guy was just inappropriate. It wasn't going to do any good to nuke that guy. Somebody need to talk to him and say, "Man, we can't do this anymore. Try and do the other." We are on the same team. We got to act like that. I love this. I love this. I'm done. He says, "Rejoice." We hit it next time. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, why? Because these women are warriors. Because there's a true yoke fellow, whoever that is, that's going to get to help them. And Clement, you jump in there too. And I'm thankful for all the rest of you fellow laborers as well. And I'm thankful for these two women. And you got the deal, but we're going to get it worked out. And it's going to be okay because we're going to spend forever together and we're going to keep serving the Lord. And I rejoice. Now, I can get a hold of that. I can get a hold of that. Because the gospel is greater and Jesus is greater. And if we'll have the mind of Christ, we'll get this situated. We'll get this worked out. You treat people like they don't matter. I mean, it's hard to work anything out. Elevate them like Paul did. Elevate them like Jesus did by dying on the cross, coming and being born. Letting them know that you're appreciative of the service and what they can do for Christ. This is a way to do this, and when you get done, you rejoice. You rejoice. There is joy in restoring relationships. And we have got to get away from the gossip, podcast, trash talk, whatever model. We got to get back here. Because I have news for you. The way we're doing things, we are doing things collectively, isn't working. And it ain't bringing any joy. This will bring joy. This will bring joy in our lives. Would you pray with me right now? God's working in our hearts. Thank you so much for being here today. Again, to all our guests, all of you that are here maybe for just the first time or two, just know as we've been going through Philippians, man, this is where we are.